It's a real joy for me again to just sit down and talk to you about the Scriptures, about the wonderful revelation of God's Son. And as we saw him in Matthew, the great question there is this Jesus of Nazareth the King, God's King? We found he was. In the Gospel through Mark, we found he was the servant of Jehovah, serving, meeting the needs of people. And in the Gospel through Luke, we find him as the Son of Man, as the one who came to reveal to us the very heart of God, in his compassion, in his tenderness, in his love. And we were speaking yesterday of the fact that the Gospel through Luke gives to us Jesus Christ as the great deliverer, that he came to the human race. And need I press this point, because it's evident all round us that the human race is under the bondage of death, under the power of sin, under the authority, and I'm sorry to say this, under the authority and power of the powers of darkness. And Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, came into the midst of the human family for the purpose of delivering the human family from these three terrible things. And I spoke of this yesterday, that he was the great deliverer from death. And may I notice this as we pass along. He raised three from the dead, and two of these you find in Luke's Gospel. For when we come to this Gospel through Luke, he's the great deliverer. He's the Savior of men from death, from sin, from the powers of darkness. And we noticed yesterday that the three that he raised from the dead, in Luke chapter 7, he raised a young man. In chapter 8, the daughter of Jairus. And in John chapter 11, Lazarus from the dead. We made note of the fact that the little girl, possibly about 12 years of age, had not gone into corruption. She had just died. And the Lord Jesus just spoke the word, and she was raised from the dead. And then in chapter 7 of Luke's Gospel, you have the resurrection of the widow's son. Here's a young man on the way to the grave, and the Lord raised him by his word. And then, if I may go again into the Gospel through John, here's a man, Lazarus, who was already in corruption in the grave 4 days, and the Lord raised him from the dead by his voice. Did you notice something? May I point this out? When our Lord performed miracles, oftentimes he changed his method of healing people. You take, for example, he healed a number who were blind. And if you notice in reading about the opening of the blind eyes, I think in nearly every case he changed his plan. In one, he just spoke the word. In another, he touched him. In another, he told him to, the Lord put clay in his eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Three different ways in which he opened the eyes of the blind. But you know, when it came to the raising of the dead, he never changed his method. It was always at the voice of the Son of God. In John chapter 5, we read, "The hour is coming when those who are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God." He never varied his method of raising people from the dead. His word brought life. It may be I'm talking to some this morning who are dead in trespasses and sins. You're without a Savior. You do not have eternal life. You're not a child of God. And oh, how you'd love to be a child of God. How you'd love to have eternal life. How you would love to be taken out of your sin and be fitted for the presence of God. Do you know how he does it? By his word. Always, always by his word. Not through some ceremony. Not through joining some organization, though I'm not opposed to that. The only way anybody is ever saved, receiving new life, a heavenly life, a spiritual life, is through the word of God. Jesus could say in John 6:68, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. Of his own will begat he us." Oh, we were born again by the word of God. Born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Through his word life comes, for in him is life. So we have him raising from the dead three precious people, a little girl, a young man, and a man in corruption. But may I say to you again, oh, may I repeat it, when I think of the tens of thousands of boys and girls in the Portland area who need the Savior, please give them the Word of God. Reach them in your Sunday school, in your home Bible classes, wherever you are. Once you reach these boys and girls with the gospel of Christ, give them the opportunity at least of hearing of the Savior before they get into corruption. And let's lay hold of these dear young people, these tens of thousands of high schoolers and college age who certainly are being swept off their feet through intellectualism and secularism and materialism. May God grant we'll reach them. Let us put ourselves out, sacrifice to reach these high schoolers and these college-age young people with the Word of God before they go into the deepest of corruption. What about the man who's in corruption? Yes, the gospel of Christ can deliver him too and set him free. He's the great deliverer from death. And the ground of that deliverance is through what he did on the cross. You see this also right through the gospel through Luke. May I quote from Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. Our Lord became a man. He came into the human family for what purpose? That through death he might destroy him and all the power of him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. He is the only one who can deliver men from death. In Revelation chapter 1:18, he could say, I have the keys of death and of hell. I am he that was dead, but am alive forevermore. And I carry on my girdle the authority of death and of hell. He's the only one who can deliver men from death. And this is Luke's gospel. He found the human race under the fear and bondage of death, and he came to deliver men from that bondage and from that fear. And it's a wonderful thing to belong to the Savior, to Jesus Christ, because by being joined to him, death has already lost its authority and its power. And as a pastor, having been here in Portland 36 years in one church, and having stood by the bedside and laid to one side hundreds of people in the city of Portland, I want to tell you, my friend, it's a tremendous thing to see the difference. That those who've accepted the Savior, there's a peace, there's a calmness, there's a rest, that death doesn't even barely cast its shadow. They could say, good night, earth, good morning, glory. And it thrills me when some of these dear old saints will come to me and say, you know, Dr. Mitchell, I wish the Lord would take me home. Isn't it wonderful they've got a home to which they can go? And I generally say, yes, but listen, God is the one who orders the time when we shall go home. He has the authority. Death cannot touch the believer in Christ until God gives that authority. Isn't this a wonderful thing? To know that we belong to the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And because I live, ye shall live also. Am I talking to someone this morning who's full of fear? It may be your sickened body, afflicted, frail, troubled. If you have really accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, my friend, let me tell you this, that leaving absent from the body is present with the Lord. That when you leave this scene, you go right into the very presence of the Lord of Lords, your Savior and your God. No wonder Paul could say, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, I feel just sure this morning that I'm talking to some who just need this word, because I hadn't planned to spend all this time on this question of Jesus Christ as the great deliverer from death. But I can't help but say it when I think of the gospel to Luke. He's the one who has absolute authority over death and the grave. And when you, as a sinner, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, he gives you eternal life. He saves you from sin, makes you a child of God. Or, if I might give to you John 5:24, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. we can truly say with the songster, hallelujah, what a Savior. And so, again, I say, as we come to this gospel to Luke, remember, Jesus Christ is the great deliverer from death. And shall we go to the second one? He's the great deliverer from sin. I'm going to spend a moment here. If you can think through the gospel through Luke, and I trust you read it since yesterday, or at least some of it, just keep on reading it, will you? The second thing about the gospel through Luke, and I love to give a title to the gospel through Luke, he is the sinner's Savior. Marvelous thing this. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. As I said a moment ago, he's the great deliverer, or the Savior, if you want to use that word, from death. And its authority, and its fear. But likewise, he's also the great Savior, the great deliverer from sin. You see, the great accusation that the Pharisees and scribes gave to our Savior was, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. Isn't that wonderful? My, I'm so glad that's true. Aren't you? Aren't you, my friend? That Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the one who came to seek and to save the lost, is the friend, not only the Savior, but the friend of publicans and sinners. And because he's their friend, he wants to save them. And I love the word, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I'm so glad when I was a sinner, he received me and brought me not only into life, but into fellowship. Now, tomorrow morning, we want to continue this. I want to whet your appetites for the reading of this gospel through Luke, and I want you to fall in love with Jesus, the Son of Man. And may the Lord wonderfully, richly bless you for his name's sake.